RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
So now we're going to hear a response to comments made by Penny Simmons, Minister for the Environment, about the Agricultural Products Review recently announced, open until the 8th of September, focusing on the approval and reassessment of products under the Agricultural Compounds and Veterinary Medicines Act 97. Jody Brunning, lead researcher at Physicians and Scientists for Global Responsibility, is back with us. Hi, Jody. Welcome back to RCR.
Thank you for inviting me on, Paul.
Okay. What do you understand the scope of this review is? How broad? How in-depth? What's your understanding?
Yeah, thank you, Paul. So it is going to focus on the approvals needed for any products used to manage plants and animals under the Agricultural Compounds and Veterinary Medicines Act, the ACVM Act, and the Hazardous Substance and New Organisms Act 96, the HAZNO Act. So it's looking from the viewpoint of those trying to seek approval through them. That will mainly be the chemicals industry and the pharmaceuticals industry. So I don't think that Zespri or individual growers, for example, will very often be trying to seek approvals through this process.
Right.
So about understanding what is the problem being addressed by the regulation and whether the systems are a stated purpose within the context of that of this review. So that's quite important. You know, what is the problem? Where is the doubling up? You know, where do the HAZNO and the ACVM Acts overlap? They're also looking at economic analysis. Now, that's interesting because there's no monitoring being undertaken in New Zealand, very little residue data, very little, you know, for example, farmers can't go and get blood tests and understand if the persistence of the pesticides they use is at a level, you know, and mixtures are at a level that might be causing harm. So the economic analysis, as it normally will be restricted to the person that applies for the import license, applies for the assessment, which again turns back to the agricultural compounds importer or the veterinary pharmaceuticals importer. And then they say they'll be benchmarking our approval path against comparable international regulators and international best practice. Now, the timeline for here is the submissions are only for one more month until the 8th of September. Yeah. The analysis is until November, and then there's a draft report in December. We don't have officials that can independently step away and benchmark our approval path against comparable international regulators and international best practice because they've been hamstrung with limited funding. They've had no capacity to go out and look at whether international best practice is actually making the healthiest, safest food we can possibly have. We haven't had the testing. We have very little residue data testing in New Zealand. We're mainly dairy, a little bit of honey. So it's as if these officials have to act in sort of isolation, understanding what people are saying, what the importers are, what the people who would like to import the products are saying or claiming. And often the data, all too often the data we see is data that sort of can be quite old, Paul, that data can lock in for a very long time. So, of course, you know, as everyone in New Zealand knows, their water levels that say the safe level of glyphosate in their water is based on a 1991 study. So we have all these kind of problems that really can't be addressed. And I think the Minister for Regulation, I think David Singh, written process, and that's really important that this is being undertaken outside of MPI.
Okay.
I think this is really critical. And Andrew Hoggett is the Minister for Biosecurity and Food Safety and the Associate Minister of Agriculture. So I think it's great that he's involved. The Minister for the Environment, Rhiannie Simmons, she's only going to understand the problems in New Zealand insofar as what the EPA will tell her because she doesn't have the resources to really start looking at why the heck New Zealand has so many banned pesticides in the environment. I'm not sure the NZEPA are going to say, oh, we've got a lot of, you know, pesticides that are banned in Europe in our environment. And, you know, for example, the triazine, you know, herbicides are aggregating in our groundwater at a level that, you know, as a chemical class, that might be a problem. The EPA aren't going to say those sort of things to Penny. So as Environment Minister, I'm not sure where she's going to get that information from. Then you've got Todd McClay, Minister for Agriculture and Forestry, and interestingly, a Minister of Foreign Affairs. So often our, you know, what we import or don't import or so on, that can be highly reflective of what our, you know, what our importers, for example, you know, China might not be happy if we stop glyphosate imports from China, since it's off patent and they're the biggest producer of glyphosate in the world, from what I understand. Mm. So you've got all these sort of social, economic, political issues underneath all that probably, you know, these guys might be able to...
Just hearing you, Jody, it always seems like these things are rushed. I'm, you know, just dumb guy on the street again, but it sounds like not much time is allocated to go through very complex things. And as you pointed out, there's a lot of data required. You can't rely on just a narrow range of opinions and data providers, because who knows who's pushing what. Why do you think we always seem to do it this way?
Because I think, it, you know, Jeffrey Palmer has pointed out really accurately that we don't have enough MPs. Our parliament is not strong enough. And if you look at all the hats all these people are wearing, which sometimes actually contradict each other if you're looking at a particular issue, they can't possibly do a good job. They can't possibly get to the bottom of an issue, because they've got to represent their local constituents, but they've got to be minister for these different products, you know, and then they've got to deal with all the other issues. If we look at the engagement promised for this consultation, it's going to be with industry representative groups and businesses. It will deflect. The stakeholders really are the importers, if we're looking at the processes of application and the processes of getting a product into New Zealand. You know, the initial engagement will be with the industry representative groups and businesses, and this will be, provide an opportunity for the groups to identify issues and opportunities with the current regulatory path and to identify evidence to support the review. And they say there's going to be online town hall meetings, which is great, but local farmers and local growers, it will be really interesting to hear what they say, because there's been this absolute, we have sort of a problem with science funding. And if you go and look at science funding through MPI or through the MBI, there's no broad sort of boots on the ground. Let's look at, for example, how we manage wheat crops with a changing climate, with more rainfall, or how we, which sort of crops, how do we rotate, or whether we have mixed plantings for certain arable, you know, agricultural forms. And we're not having those sorts of conversations. So when we start looking at the products we need, oh, well, we're having all these problems with this particular blight or that particular infestation or infection, but we're not producing the agriculture that can also look at integrative pest management. That's really low priority for funding.
Yeah.
And different organisations, different industry groups like the Foundation for Arable Research, FAR, doing amazing work. You know, Dairy New Zealand might be doing great work too, but they will only fund short-term emergency stuff that growers desperately need right now. They won't be doing the long-term resilience funding that says how do we get the best nutrients in the soil to, you know, remove any instant, you know, low, sorry about me saying you know all the time,
yeah,
lower the
do.
Instances of, oh, that's terrible, particular diseases that, for example, could be remediated or at a lower level if we changed our growing planting patterns. We're not doing that work through the government, and the grower groups only have so much money, and when they don't do that long-term important, and then they turn around and say, but we need these sprays, the farmers don't have any choice. The growers really don't have any choice. And Penny Simons was talking about, she latched onto my comment that when I said softer forms of pesticides. And to be honest, if we look at it, glyphosate is a soft pesticide compared to a lot of the other ones. A lot of them, DDT, far more harmful, for example,
different
herbicides, insecticides. And so what we need to understand is the new versions that we're going to replace glyphosate aren't coming through. And instead what we're getting is we're getting tolerance building up. So we get more problems from the weeds, but we're not doing, again, that IPM, that integrated pest management. But the farmers are caught between a rock and a hard place where they think that the newest technologies will be softer. And because we're not doing that science, we actually can't verify that. You know, so trust but verify. Okay, you claim this new biologic drug or this new technology is going to be trustworthy, but we've got no one in New Zealand to verify it.
It's not a credible review then, is it, if it's not taking into account? Because there's one thing we've been finding out here at RCR. We've talked to plenty of farmers who are involved in this from here and overseas. There are whole new ways of doing things which really work, which actually have no deleterious effects when it comes to, you know, the synthetic products, et cetera, and the chemicals, et cetera. That should be a full-scale part of this, I'm thinking, but what do I know? What do you think about that?
Oh, well, the underinvestment in science is underinvestment in forms of science that doesn't lead to patents.
Ah, here we go again, patents again.
And so, and unfortunately, there's a really kind of crazy instance where we have ANZCO Foods, we have Fonterra, we have Rabobank, Ravensdown, Silverfern Farms, Synlait, and MPI. MPI owns 50% of this joint venture. So this joint venture is going to produce this so-called vaccine for methane. The owners of Fonterra and Silverfern Farms, how can the farmers that are allied with these big organisations, ANZCO Food, turn around and say, well, I'm not going to use that product, when these big corporations might have the political power to say, well, if you're not using that product, I don't trust your product?
Yeah.
We've got these perverse incentives in this environment where we're underinvesting in science, in agriculture, that can lower our dependency on toxic chemicals.
It doesn't feel right that MPI should be in some kind of public-private partnership of this nature. That's a barefaced conflict of interest, I would have thought.
It's an enormous conflict of interest. And then the other problem is that if any independent researcher wanted to understand what the heck was going on with the toxic chemicals that they want to import with the biologic drugs, whether the contamination, we've seen a problem with biologic drugs over COVID where the batch numbers show different contamination levels. We have confidentiality clauses built into the ACVM Act that prevent scientific research because they don't need to disclose the ingredients, and the, you know, the mechanism of action might be synergistic, but only the active ingredients studied. But what are the full implications of the compounds on the public? So we've got these, you know, the officials that might be looking at this review might be doing worthy work. We do really need to start talking about this. But for example, physicians and scientists and for global responsibility won't really have a say in this because, of course, it's all to do with the viewpoint of those trying to seek approval through them, and then it's trying to understand a problem, you know, being addressed by regulation. If we were to, you know, support sending an application to suggest what other things need to be looked at, they would be outside the scope. Most of the stuff we're talking about here is outside the scope. You know, and they want to engage with other people like Māori in the public health sector. They want to look at the impact on the environment. They want to take into account R&D considerations and the development of new products and international trade. The idea that they're trying to achieve all this and lock in a report that makes sense in 4 months, you know, the only sector it can benefit are the importers, because they'll be the ones with the authority compared to everybody else because of the scope, the terms of reference.
I did put it to Penny Simmons that, you know, people can get carried away with science and over-enthusiastic and push really hard and sort of get it on a roll, and you've got to be careful of that. And I think she kind of said, yeah, I'm aware of that. But the time frame would indicate that she probably doesn't stand much of a chance. Well, where she comes into it.
Oh, exactly. And like Penny, listening to that interview the other day, why the heck isn't she Minister for Education? Seriously. Just her knowledge, her background, her experience, unbelievable. You know, and then she's meant to be a commentator as Minister for the Environment when in New Zealand we're not able to talk about synthetic chemicals in river water and sediment because we have to only talk about climate change and possums. So, you know, she can't be an independent thinker with tons of experience in this sector. It'd be interesting to see what her personal views are.
Yeah, but it's common sense, Jody. It's common sense. Anyone with half a brain knows the common sense issues here. You know, you don't have to have deep knowledge to know that you know, that where things kind of fall is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, and you know where one of my biggest common sense issue hope is with this? It's that the New Zealand-based exporters who have to comply with tighter regulations in offshore jurisdictions, they are aware that if they exceed the residue levels permitted by other countries, especially the countries that have the best, I guess, best practice levels, their product could be sent back, like our honey was sent back from Japan. Yep. So I know that Zespri are very, very particular about their spray regimes. But then they might alter their spray regimes. I'm not sure, based on if they're importing a product into Japan or if they're importing a product into Italy.
You mean they tweak it for whatever the market is? Is that what you're saying?
They could actually have tiers of, you know, the crappiest, shittiest stuff can go to America.
Yeah, right, because they'll accept it. Because they'll take it.
It's so bad. But the problem is if we don't comply really strictly, you know, with other countries, they will send back our product, and that is very expensive and it's very bad. So I'm really hoping that not the importers with all the experience in applying for these products that have the authority, but it is the dairy sector, Zespri, it's apples and pears, it's our carrots, our seed exporters. I'm hoping that they are going to be the big priority of the people that are overseeing this review. I think they're really important. You know, we have so many banned chemicals permitted in New Zealand that the EPA, you know, Freeth's been there since 2015. The EPA just keep ignoring, and they're banned in Europe. A list of 20 just off, you know, off the bat. And I think the EPA need a massive indication for why they can't actually do that, why they have to. And that problem of not being able to ban chemicals dovetails with industry lobbying power, the chemical industry lobbying power, and it dovetails with not having other crutches, as in not having that science feedback loop, not having those reviews of the knowledge in other jurisdictions that might be doing work on integrated pest management, uncovering more information on how toxic chemical is, you know, what veterinary medicine, if you mix them together, impairs reproduction. Diets, you know, if we're importing distilled grains, does that, which are high in glyphosate and sprays, will they impair production? You know, no one's doing that work. It's just a big blind spot.
Okay, so in the few minutes we have left, you talked about more scientific freedom and funding for that, for independent research, to ensure that new technologies are thoroughly vetted for safety and efficacy. So how would you see
no one's going to do that.
Yeah, but how would you see that ideally working?
Well, if you look at, for example, Ag Research in the latest Farmers Weekly, Ag Research was saying, look, you know, we're not going to actually run at a loss anymore. We aren't. So, you know, that what that means is they will have many more public-private partnerships, and they will primarily do research that results in patents and that gets them royalties. Hopefully, and then they'll also do paid research that's paid for by the industry groups like the Foundation for Arable Research, Dairy NZ, and so on. But they're not going to do long-term inquiry to understand how to reduce chemical loads unless, for example, the EPA is turning around and saying, how do we stop using these banned pesticides in agriculture. There's no feedback loops right now between the EPA and either Ag Research or ESR, and ESR do the groundwater study, but they ESR don't look at levels of agricultural chemicals in our silt and in our riverbeds to understand whether that sort of microbiome of the river is being impaired by mixtures of chemicals.
It's an obvious one. It's an obvious one, isn't it?
And ESR and Ag Research are really obvious places to go. But our universities, if you look, our researchers, our academics are dying to go back to basic research, to boots in the ground research. There are so many good people in New Zealand that know that MBIE, the Ministry for Business, Innovation and Employment, their science policy has had everyone by the short and curly since about 2000 when the whole innovation, i.e. patent priority policy came in. We need to get science funding outside of MBIE basically to help with everything, but including reviews like this to help support as an evidence base why we need to make decisions that might be different from what the importing corporations declare is the new desperate need. And we need somewhere where we're going to verify, is this really a soft chemical? Is this biologic drug? Because a biologic drug comes in under the ACVM Act. So we need to understand that right now the gene therapies aren't classified as a GMO. So even though this says that this doesn't include looking at genetically modified organisms, but because we're not, the biologic drugs that are gene therapies are not being classified as a genetically modified organism. They'll come under the umbrella of this. So biologic drugs are in the ACVM Act. They're massively underregulated.
Yeah. These two acts are almost 30 years old now. It's been a long time coming, this review.
Well, we're not too keen on them opening up in the current culture because the current culture will seek more deregulation. What we see, of course, is the whole we're out of date, we're so old, everything we do is so out of date. But most of our GMO regulation harmonises with Europe, and that's not up to date. The European population is healthier than the American population, has the weakest, most lax GMO laws and quite lax pesticides laws. You know, they're spraying dicamba all over their food, for example.
Yep.
So, you know, that language is just missing here.
Yeah. All right, we'll leave it there. Jodie Brunning, Lead Researcher, Physicians and Scientists for Global Responsibility. Thanks for coming back and explaining, well, how you see that review, Jodie. We appreciate that.
Thank you, Paul. And I really, really would hope that industry, agricultural industry groups, not the lobbying and groups and the importers, but that the ag industry groups come and speak to you about this too. They should know more than me.
Right now, free speech is under heavy attack in New Zealand and overseas, with governments constantly devising new ways to enforce censorship. To make sure you never miss the critical news and breaking stories you rely on, join the RCR mailing list today. Get connected now at realitycheck.radio/email.